absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente interkulturell.
Absolutely intercultural.
Absolutely Intercultural, the podcast about all things intercultural. In September, I attended the CIETAR Congress in Tallinn, Estonia, where I met the two people who feature in this podcast number 172. The music you just heard was being played by some street performers in Tallinn, and Estonia is famous for the way in which it escaped the Soviet Union with its singing revolution. This involved thousands of people forming a line of over 600 kilometres while singing. So there was a lot of music in Tallinn, and we'll hear a bit more later. CIETAR is the Society for Intercultural Education, Training and Research, and the Congress attracted many intercultural trainers and coaches who often work freelance. I was attending to talk about the results of the UniKey project, which has just finished, but I was also invited to do a workshop on how to podcast as part of a pre-Congress set of workshops for freelancers. I promised those who attended that I would make a special edition of the podcast based on the how-tos we went through that day, so watch out for that. It will be on a new page at www.absolutely-intercultural.com when it's ready. So what have we got for you today? Firstly, we'll be talking to Sabrina Ziegler in Canada, who's organising a free online conference on the theme of living your ideal global life. And that'll be in January 2014. What could that mean? Turns out that it could mean a huge range of things, one of them being living as a suitcase entrepreneur.
And Natalie actually doesn't own an apartment, doesn't rent anything. She doesn't have a seat of residence. She really lives out of a suitcase and travels around the world, and has her online business that she's created to support her lifestyle. So she's going to be talking about creating that location-independent lifestyle.
And then what could be more boring and uncontroversial than a set of research protocols when you carry out research projects on schoolchildren in Egypt? Just get the parents to sign the consent form. Easy, right?
One of them agreed to sign, but she was so worried that she had to call her husband on the mobile and ask for his permission. Would I sign a paper? And then she signed and she said, "I trust you." I'm like, "Okay, thank you very much." The other lady signed with her left hand, though I was sure she wasn't a left-handed person. Mm.
So let's meet the first person from the CIETAR Congress, Sabrina Ziegler. She helped us freelancers in how to organise our digital media presence and is generally an advocate of a global lifestyle. What does that mean? Well, Sabrina will help us to find out by putting on a free online summit called Living Your Ideal Global Life in January 2014. So let's go absolutely global.
I'm Sabrina Ziegler. I'm the Chief Awareness Creator at Authenticin.com. A company that I created where I offer webinars, e-courses, coaching and consulting on creating global awareness in your business and life. My personal life has always been global in various forms. I hold dual citizenship. I'm the child of immigrant parents. I've lived abroad, studied abroad, been in a cross-cultural relationship, and have worked globally. And I just wanted to bring this aspect of my life and this awareness that I've learned to everyone's daily business and their lives.
Now let's talk about this initiative that you're taking, which is happening in January, which is called Living Your Ideal Global Life.
Yes.
What does that mean? What do you mean by global life?
Well, a global life is really anything that you make out of it, and it's really how you define it yourself. Having a global life could be for you traveling, living, and working abroad. It could mean that you've studied abroad and have made friends while you were abroad, and now you're back at home and you're in contact with them, and you have that aspect of global in your life. It also could just mean that you enjoy cooking and you try cooking dishes every night from a different country or different region of the world. Having the global in your life is really how you define it yourself. It's more of a mindset of looking outward and looking at the world in a larger picture than just focusing on your personal region or area where you live. And so that's why the title of your summit is Living Your Ideal Global Life, because it's really how you define having a global life. And many of our speakers have a very different definition for this terminology as well.
Could you now tell us a little bit more about this summit? It will be for about a week in January. So how much does it cost for a start?
Well, the cost is that there is none. The summit is absolutely free.
Okay.
All you need to do is sign up for the summit with your email address, and you'll be getting the login details to access all the different recordings. So the summit is going to take place from January 13th to 17th, 2014. And we have 20 different speakers, guest speakers, invited to talk about a variety of amazing topics. As well as that, we have about 15 guest case studies speakers who are going to be in little 5-minute interviews sharing how they view their ideal global life. And we've just started releasing those on YouTube as of last week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm looking at the website about the summit. And for example, I'm looking at the speaker, Natalie Sisson, who is going to be talking about suitcase entrepreneurship.
Yes, Anne. So Natalie is a good friend of mine. And suitcase entrepreneurship really defines who Natalie is. Her business is also called The Suitcase Entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And Natalie actually doesn't own an apartment, doesn't rent anything. She doesn't have a seat of residence. She really lives out of a suitcase and travels around the world, and has her online business that she's created to support her lifestyle. So she's going to be talking about creating that location-independent lifestyle, where if that is something that, and that's how you define global, and you want to have the ability and the opportunity to create a lifestyle, a business that will support creating this flexibility and the ability to work from anywhere and to create this adventure and freedom in business and life, does not mean that everyone has to copy her lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that you would like to emulate certain aspects of her lifestyle, certain digital tools that she used to create that freedom, so that maybe you can, while you're at home, have more flexibility and time for your children. So, but it's really dependent on yourself and how you view the global in your life. But Natalie has some amazing tips for everyone, I'm sure of that.
Well, you know what? I'm really looking forward to this because I've never seen anything quite like it before, and it's really intriguing and interesting. And I wish you all the best for it. And perhaps you could just finish by telling us how we can be a part of it.
Okay, and thanks so much. So we would love for you all to be a part of the Living Your Ideal Global Life Summit. Like I said, it's going to be running live from January 13th to 17th, 2014. And this is an online free virtual summit. And to join in the conversation, all you need to do is sign up at www.authenticin.com.
We'll be saying a bit more about the summit nearer the time in January so that you don't forget to take part. One of the talks I attended at CATAR was given by Iman El-Shawef, talking about the unexpected difficulties she had when following the research protocols set down by her British university. She wanted to work with children in her school in Egypt, and so you have to get parental consent. And that means signing a form which can then be sent back to the university to document that everything was done ethically. Let's see how easy that turned out to be as we go absolutely ethical.
I am Iman Shawaf. I'm just an educator. I'm a teacher. I was started as a teacher, and I'm based in Cairo.
Yeah.
So I talked to the principal of the school. He was very helpful, and he said, okay, then if you can switch. I offered to be a SINCO, special needs coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
I was the first in a mainstream school. They did not even know what's the title, and he said, okay, you title yourself the way you want. And I became a part-timer so that I because I started the doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
So my title is special needs coordinator in a mainstream school.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so you were doing this research and you decided to sign up with a university in Britain, and then you discovered that there were certain rules and guidelines that you had to abide by. And so can you say a little bit more about those?
So this is where I said that, okay, I came over most of the obstacles, the financing, the staffing, finding a cooperative staff, all things went fine. Even the communication skills, because this is something I guess Arabs, not only Egyptians, lack.
Mm.
The language, the computer skills, the presentation skills. And then when it was back to work on my thesis, there was just small attachment of ethical approval to the university. And then, okay, you have to fill according to the code of ethics.
Mm.
And I thought it would take me like 15 minutes to fill it. Okay. Okay, if you're working with kids, please make sure that you reach their parents and get their approval. Okay. Please make very clear announcement about your research. Fine. Keep confidentiality and keep the names hidden. Fine.
Mm.
So I did fill this form, I sent it, and I was fine, and it was time to apply it.
Mm.
So I thought, I've been working in the same school for 13 years. I do have very good relations with the parents, I have very good relations with the owner of the school, and somehow I easily socialize and get through my problems. So I never thought I'd be facing any kind of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Obtaining a consent was the first strike, because the owner said, well, listen, I'm the owner here and I'm the principal and I'm allowing you to do whatever you like. So go into all classes, record, study, assess. And I said, I'm sorry, the parents has to know. They have to sign. And he was very much against this. And he said, I want to see the consent the way it's written before. So it took me back and forth to write, show him he's not happy, reform. Hide this one. Don't say you're recording. Don't say you are a researcher. Say that this is a project that's going to help for the benefit of the parents, not the school.
Mm.
So as if we're doing them a favor. And then say that it should be pay. They should pay, and then we're going to, for special people, we will not charge them so that they would think it's... He knows the mentality, but it was like, it took me a very long period of time.
Mm.
And then after we got settled, and he agreed upon the form, I started arranging meetings with the parents. They came to the school. I was telling them about that. Many of them were welcoming, but they did not want to sign. They said, oh, they're your kids. Come on. We don't just do whatever you like. Is it going to be with extra hours? Are you going to take them for extra hours? I said, no, just within the school, within the normal school day. Then why do you need our signature? And it started to provoke me, because seriously, one of them agreed to sign, but she was so worried that she had to call her husband on the mobile and ask for his permission. Would I sign a paper? And then she signed and she said, I trust you. I'm like, okay, thank you very much. The other lady signed with her left hand, though I was sure she wasn't a left-handed person.
Mm.
So many. Actually, I only arranged the meeting with 20 parents because I thought I would need 20 consents.
Mm.
So I thought that would be... I went out with four, and then the next five, and then the next day... One parent came to apologize, and she wanted the paper back, and she didn't want her son to participate because she said, I know that you got your master's in special education, and this means that my son is a special needs.
Yeah.
I said, at all, it's a random selection.
Mm.
She said, okay, I'm sorry, but just the minute other parents will know that he is dealing with you, and everyone started to talk that the school is hosting a center for special help, then I know, thank you, he'll be labeled forever and I don't want him to participate. And I finally got the right number, but that was after 3 months of arguing and discussing and convincing. It was very much time consuming, and it was an effort.
And it sounds as though it took you by surprise.
It was just behind. I thought a meeting. I even thought, why not having all of them spread the paper and then collect it signed? So this was totally out of my consideration. And yeah. I didn't think it would be that awful to ask them for a written approval. And no, only this lady or another one afterwards that refused to join the program. Mm. Or the rest of them were welcoming. They said, just do whatever you like. Even if you want to come home and just do the but please don't involve us in approval. Why do you want us to approve? Why would we ever come to you and say, don't sit with them? We don't even know when will you be meeting them. Yeah. It's in school time.
Yeah. So, I mean, what does this tell you about these research protocols? I mean, do you think they are applicable across globally?
Not in my case at all. Although I've been dealing with people, I'm not just an outsider, and I'm not a researcher that's coming from nowhere and meeting someone in the street and asking them for his...
These were people you knew?
They knew me, and it was within their school, the kids' school. So everything seemed very easy to just finish the situation in no time.
Yeah.
But reality did not give me what I expected.
So if we talk a little bit about why the parents were so much against this, it was about the labeling?
I was asking the question directly to outsiders, why would people refuse to sign?
Mm.
And then I got, first they said, maybe many people are illiterate and they can't really understand what they are signing on. But it was written in Arabic. The parents, I was sure, were well-educated.
Mm.
So this was not the proper, this wouldn't justify the case.
Mm.
The other one was, we don't like commitments, and maybe just any time they want to withdraw their kids or... they would think it's a commitment, though it does not say it. Actually, it does say you are allowed to withdraw your kids whenever you like.
Mm.
I also got some answers of the trust, a matter of trust. We don't trust each other that much, and people have been through many cases where the signature has been used in other way. But I mean, why would I use your signature? And you've seen the paper, and the whole thing is not. I'm not asking you to sign on a white paper, and then I'll use it and write whatever I like. So this is what I said. I did not get quite a convincing answer up to this minute. And it just seemed cultural.
Yeah.
And my husband, when I was complaining at home, he said, I wouldn't sign such a paper. Why would I? Let them do whatever they want with the kids in school.
Mm.
Do we go to school and observe what's happening? Are we happy with the service they're offering? We don't. And even when they take them on trips, we would, though we always say, please sign that you approve the trip. I've seen this after my experience, that the signature is always, sometimes the kid would sign on behalf of his father, because yes, okay, go. On the phone, do you agree I go on the trip? Yes, go, just stick that I agree and then write my name.
Mm.
So it's never seriously a signature, more than the name, and they would approve anyone to write the name.
Yeah.
But don't put me in a situation where you want my real signature. And
one thing I did enjoy very much was the graphics made by Rachel Ben-Margui of some of the sessions. And I've used one of her visuals as the image for this show on our blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. You'll also find the links to all the things we've mentioned in the podcast on the blog, as well as a link to see the rest of Raquel's wonderful graphics. Meanwhile, on our Facebook page, we're only a few short of 300 likes. Will you be number 300? In the last couple of weeks, we've been featuring a great many links about stereotypes. So if you want to know more about that topic, then head on over to our Facebook page. And of course, we'll be putting the podcast onto our YouTube channel as normal. We'll be playing out today with a short extract from the Estonian Girls Choir, which entertained the Congress speakers in Tallinn Town Hall. Our next show will be coming to you from Germany with Laurent Borgmann on December 6th. So until then, stay tuned.